Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take the first question from Sven Weier from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I got four questions, please. The first one is on systems margins, again, the 8.2%. You described some of the reasons, but, you know, on the other hand, I think you were clearly expecting and guiding for somewhat lower here. So maybe you just could give us some additional color why the margin was really so high and deviating so much from what we were expecting here. The second question, also on what you've just said on the guidance, basically implies 5% organic margin for systems in the second half. Despite the fact that you should have quite a mixed benefit from higher U.S. margins. So is that, again, you know, quite a low-balling figure? The third question, I remember in the Q1 call you said you were expecting a book-to-bill of clearly above or above one. Given that you've now raised the revenue guidance, should we now pencil in book-to-bill of one, or are you still expecting above one? And then lastly, on the topic of China, we're obviously all aware of those potential uncertainties, but could you give us more color maybe also on the upside factors in North America, also in Mexico, where I think there are a couple of projects pending? So could that potentially balance kind of a slowdown in China, in your view? Thank you.
Then I will start with the first one, and that was your question here was, what are the reasons for the 8.2 organic systems margin we showed in Q2? Yeah, for sure, the price quality we have currently in our project pipeline is quite good. But on top of that comes a really good project execution, and that our efficiency measures are successful. Our hub concept is working, and we are going into other segments like Hero, and that all together helps us to show such a nice margin of above 8%. Looking at the second question and the second half of the year, then we said for the full year we expect something above 6% for systems, and one reason is for sure that our IT projects we mentioned earlier, the PLM system and the ERP system, that are two really huge internal systems, that there we expect higher costs. Overall, we expect something like 14 million for the year. One-third we had in the first half of the year, roughly, a little less perhaps, and two-thirds we will have in the second half of the year, and the big chunk will be in systems, because the PLM system we are introducing affects the system division only. So these internal projects and OPEX for that is one reason, and the second, what Till mentioned earlier, the price pressure in Europe. We will see how that develops in the second half of the year. That is not so easy to fix now and put a number on it, but in general we are optimistic that US is more than compensating it, and there might be in quarter four already a plus, or in 2016. That now is depending on when which orders will come. But we are really optimistic for the order intake in 2016, that it will be higher in Europe than in the second half of the year, and especially America, mm-hmm. including Mexico.
Maybe coming to your book-to-bill question, we're guiding above one. I think for the full year you should have an assumption of around one, so we want to be above one, but it should be closer to one. I think very, very, very important to state is that we're expecting for the robotics piece a growth of 10 to 15% at least for robotics, for the product business. And we see that the systems business will be more like a stable business. And therefore, I think it is that we also see on the robotics side that the growth is driven by GI, automotive on a very high level stable, but the next push is coming from GI. And also now maybe going over to your question on, you were mentioning like a slowdown in China. I think for us it's not a slowdown, it's for automotive on a very high level stability. We are working together with the premium OEMs which have joint ventures in China, but we're also working with the local OEMs, and we see that automotive business is for us stable on a high level, and we see that the trend from automotive to automation for KUKA, we see a bigger growth in GI, and therefore for China overall we're expecting further growth. And also given the facts which I mentioned, labor cost, demography, then they want to export, and also the number of robots per employee really indicates that there's further potential for automation. Clearly the upside factors, you were mentioned Mexico, U.S., which also for us is America. We have for the full group, if we're targeting the 2.9 billion, we have approximately 1 billion of U.S. revenues. And there we see clearly that compared with the European market, American market is a very strong market. And in Europe, as Peter mentioned, for the second half it will be more tense, but the project we are seeing is our customers see that already at the end of the year we expect further contracts here.
Maybe one follow-up question, if I may, just on the robot order side. Do you see yourself benefiting relative to your Japanese peers because you got the systems know-how and that's increasingly appreciated by your general industry clients, that you have this kind of background and not just focused on standalone robots? Is that helping you to win market share also on the robot side?
I think it's not as clear as you were trying to show it. I think the big potential for KUKA is once you are selling purely a product, the potential of the big data and the potential of being efficient on the process comes over the process and the integration know-how. And therefore, I think in the future, with our setup, with having the product know-how, having this process or cell know-how, and having also some kind of turnkey, which is more special, but the cell know-how, we will be able to sell more services, more products, and more software-based products if we have always our setup. Therefore, I believe we will have our structure a clear benefit over a pure or just a naked product company.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next caller is from Sebastian Grove from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Sebastian Grove here. Five questions in total from my side. The first three on systems. The gross margin was exceptionally strong with a 19% in the quarter. Can you just give us an idea if there were any exceptionally high-margin projects included in this very second quarter? And then as a follow-up to this one, how does the Q2 gross margin compare to the pricing quality that you currently do have in the backlog and also in comparison with the current U.S. orders you're taking in? And then on prepayments in general, when it comes to the systems business, can you just give us an idea how much really of the order value percentage-wise you do usually receive in terms of prepayments when an order comes from Europe and how this compares to the U.S.? And then moving on to Swisslog, to my understanding, at least there's a quite significant disconnect currently between the order intake on one side and the sales recognition on the other side. And even on your updated new full-year sales guidance of the around 600 million, obviously would imply a slowdown in the second half, which would speak against the historical pattern at Swisslog. So can you just give us an indication what you see in terms of full-year sales as a kind of blue sky number and also what you would see here in the order intake for the second half of the year at Swisslog? And then lastly, on the portfolio, and after the recent divestments we have seen, do you regard the current portfolio as really core, or are there any other areas that might come up for potential divestment? Thank you.
Okay. The first was systems. Was there something extraordinary in Q2?
Mm-hmm.
If I got it right, not really. Not really. Really good projects, and I think the quality was the basis, but the execution was the best, I think, what the team internally at Systems delivered. And so we really could finish some projects with quite good margins. and we hopefully learn from that for the future. In addition, then efficiency measures which are successful.
And regarding the margin quality Q2 compared to what you do have in the backlog and compared to the US orders?
No difference. Yeah, usually that is the shift to your next question, the prepayments. In the US, we have no prepayments. So KUKA has to pre-finance the projects more or less. The big payment comes when the key is given to the customers for the line, and so we have to pre-finance, but together with that, we usually have a higher margin on such projects. And therefore, if we have in mind what Till mentioned, first half of the year, 70% US orders, so that's the explanation for the increase, really huge increase in net working capital. But at the same time, the pipeline and the margin in the backlog should be higher and not lower from that point of view. Mm-hmm. A little in the other side goes the pressure of the new contracts we take on board in Europe.
On the order intake of Swisslog, clearly we expect more order intake in the second half of the year, which is typical for the seasonality of the Swisslog business, that we see in Q3 and Q4 stronger demand and stronger order intake, guiding like that we are around 1 at the book-to-bill ratio with approximately 600 million of order intake and 600 million of revenue. And we expect that the logistics market overall is going to grow in the future much, much stronger because of e-commerce and also the joint products of KUKA and Swisslog. But clearly we have the first year of integration where we have to also put the team together. We have, as you are aware of, now after last week we have 100% control of Swisslog. We have already exchanged a couple of management functions and a very good way for the full integration also on the work together of Swisslog. And the topic with the 4.0 will happen in logistics and in production, and therefore I think we are very well positioned to benefit from further developments here and to see further growth in Swisslog. On the portfolio, we sold two companies, two rather smaller companies by way of revenue. HLS, something like 25 million. The tools and dyes business were around 65 million per year of revenue. Smaller business, which are very niche, and we have found other owners which are going to invest more into these areas, whilst we are going to focus on the robotic-based automation, meaning that this were some special business in the KUKA portfolio. We now have made a decision to sell them, but the rest of KUKA is clearly core, and we're going to further develop the business.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Sebastian Hubert from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Sebastian here from SocGen in Frankfurt. I have two questions on Swisslog left over. Can you give us a split of how the HCS and the WDS divisions have developed in terms of new orders and revenues? And then also with regards to the 7 to 9 million integration costs, do you think that you have done then all the things you want to do by the end of this year, or is there more to come potentially also in 2016? Thank you.
Yeah, if we look into HCS, the healthcare business, there we had a double-digit increase in order intake, really nice development, new promising projects we got on board, but in WDS we had less order intake compared to last year. There was in the prior year figures in Q2 an extraordinary effect of one big project which we could not take on board this year. And the same was true for the EBIT margin. We had an extra effect last year at Swisslog, a positive one in Q2. So that is the explanation for the difference. Integration cost, the 7 to 9 million, we expect the biggest part now second half of the year and a little of that beginning of next year. That is a mixture of effects, write down of IT systems we don't continue, it's squeeze out costs and so on, cost for paying people who are not on board anymore and so on.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from Lucy Currier from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from my side. The first one on the auto market in Europe. And, Thiel, you made the comment that you were expecting a rebound for 2016. But is that in your view, you are seeing an increase in the production capacity and therefore new investment, from the European OEMs to take place in Europe? So that was my first question. And the second one is on the system business and specifically in North America. We have seen this business being quite strong for you since, I would say, almost 2 to 3 years now. How long do you think that the modernization maybe of the production capacity, some of the expansion of those production capacity, how long do you think this is still sustainable? And just the last one, maybe to come back a little bit to your point on Industry 4.0, can you comment on the uptake of the LBR Iowa and on the Sunrise platform, and also maybe give us a sense of who have been the buyers for this type of products and software? Are we more talking of auto buyers at the moment or more GI?
Mm-hmm. Okay, happy to do. I think on the just expectation in Europe, I don't expect an increase in capacity in Europe, but as you're aware of, we are not depending on the capacity. We are more depending on the CapEx cycle of the OEMs. What I see is talking to our customer that we see big contracts at the end of the year, beginning 16, but it's more like new types, more bit bigger variety of models, but I think the overall capacity I cannot comment on this. You have to ask the automotive companies. We do see that the variety of models and the exchange of certain models is going to have an increase in production here. On the system in North America, yes, we bought Utica 2 years ago, and Utica was a great step to be a clear number one in the U.S. market. And after the last 2 years, we clearly gaining more market share, also the margin increased, and we had a very good momentum. Modernization of the plants continues, and we see for the next 1 to 2 years stable and a growing business in Americas, including Mexico. So North America, given that we today have out of our 2.9 billion, approximately 1 billion from US, we're expecting that the American market is growing above Europe for the next 2 to 3 years. Industry 4.0 update, really it's, you are mentioning one topic out of the 4.0, the Sunrise and the EVA. Sunrise as the architecture of the software and the EVA as one of our products. EVA is mainly going today in the automotive industry, where you have lots of assembly functions which are still not highly automated, but clearly GI is taking up. So automotive is the innovation front runner, but GI is coming. I think we are in the process we are the company which is driving innovation in man machine, and therefore it's an ongoing and it's an development according to plan. But 4.0 is, as I mentioned, much more. We are close to the customer. We get the data, and therefore also our investment in Austin, Texas, where we want to have more big data experts, and then with this data to further develop our applications, further develop our product, so that we benefit from the development of 4.0.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take the next question from Patrick Speck from Montega. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I've got one question left regarding your R&D costs. Your R&D costs were significantly higher in the second quarter than in the previous quarter. In the first half of the year, we now see R&D costs of 50 million roundabout. I once read that your R&D costs your R&D budget for this year would be around 80 million. So did you raise your budget, or what is the reason behind the large increase in the R&D costs? Is it due to the new center in Austin, Texas, or what is? Yeah, what could you put some color to this figure? Thank you.
Yeah, we are employing new software guys mainly. That is Austin, and we are building a hub in Hungary. And overall in robotics, in the first half of the year, employed 80 more guys only for the robotics team. So we are exactly what you mentioned at 51 million, and we expect something between 90 and 95 for the full year, which is then representing 3.2% of the revenue of KUKA, and within the bandwidth we always mentioned to invest between 2.5 and 3.5% of our revenue in R&D. There was one special effect from systems. They had some investments in new technologies, and we are working on the future of automation, that is mobility, navigation, human-robot collaboration, and are showing a lot of that in the P&L instead of capitalizing it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Felicitas Bismarck from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm new to the story, so I have a couple of more general questions, please. So the first one would be, how much of your China business is actually automotive? Can you give a rough indication of that? And the second question would be, you stated that you are not seeing any impact in China of any decline, but your clients certainly are. So for me, the question is, how much would that impact your long-term growth if they were to cut their capacity expansion plans? So to put it differently, are you more play on the CapEx expansion, or are you more play on the production in China? And the last question would be, when I take out the Swisslog acquisition and I take out some positive currency effects, it looks like your organic orders are declining. Can you maybe comment on what is causing that, and how do you see this developing in the second half of the year? Thank you.
Good. Let me first have in automotive in China. In total, we have the numbers for China are approximately 200 million for the first half of the year. For the full year, we are expecting something of 450 million for whole of China, for KUKA Group. Out of the 450 million, approximately 250 million plus minus are from robotics. In robotics, we have 50 to 60% automotive and 50% GI. And then on the system side, it's approximately 100 million. Then we have logistics and KUKA Industries with parts of it. So overall, we have approximately 150% of automotive business. The China and the overall KUKA is developing clearly from automotive to automation. We clearly follow our customers. We are focusing on our automotive customers. They are the most important customer group. But we clearly see that the non-automotive business is growing faster, and we are prepared to grab this growth in the non-automotive area, especially in China, as you also could see in the second quarter. On the automotive area, we have followed also the development over the last 3 weeks. We are in automotive. We are working with the premium OEMs, which have joint ventures in China, but we are also very well connected with the local OEMs, where they still are expanding. We never talk about the car production or the monthly registration numbers. We only talk about the CapEx expansion in there. And as mentioned, with the CapEx expansion from the local ones in China, we do see it CapEx expansion in U.S., and we, as mentioned, we see a tense development in Europe. overall, if you look at, if you take out the Swisslog development, clearly also we had benefit from the U.S. dollar. However, we have, if you look at the development in robotics, we want to grow for the full year something around 15% order intake plus, which is clearly a great and clear statement. The robotics is growing here. On the systems, we are, if you take out all the effects, we are on the flat development, which also comes back to U.S. is overcompensating a tense Europe. But globally, we are here we are, oh God, globally we are balanced out. So that we see in the product business the development, the nice growth, and in the systems business global stability on a high level.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue.
Thank you very much. If you have further questions, please call Investor Relations. And we wish you kind of a nice afternoon. And if you have summer holidays, lucky vacation.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.